I'm Bruce. So, do you trust me? Do you trust me? I'm the substitute speaker today. Found out this morning that I'd be speaking, but I believe that in many ways the Lord has already been speaking. So I'm just gonna really just reiterate the things that he's been saying, and I think we'll wrap this all up really well. Just trying to scan. We did pretty good without having to rope the sections off. That's good. We're going to have a ministry time at the end. I'm like, whether you know it or not, I'm really big on altar ministry. And we haven't done it for I don't know how long, but we're going to have a prayer tunnel. You'll see the reasons why, I think, as we go through this. But I believe the Lord wants to break some things off of you and establish some things in your heart. And if you'll just take a step in faith, I think he'll do that for you. So Heavenly Father, we just give you our ears, we give you our attention, and we just desire for you to speak, have your way in each heart, each mind, and be glorified and honored in Jesus' name. Amen. Now we've been talking about a passage of scripture. Terry addressed it in opening the service, Proverbs 3:5. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Do not lean on your own understanding, and all your ways acknowledge him, and he will make your path straight. And I talked about these as keys of functioning in the kingdom. And we're taking some time going through the trust section of it. And I'm going to stay there today because I think it's really important that we understand in whom we have our trust. So last week we talked about the word Lord and making him Lord of our life. I don't think we have a good concept of that because in our culture we really don't have lords and kings and all those things. We're an independent country and we even separate ourselves from our own government and really don't appreciate much of anything that they do in governing, other than the ability to complain and criticize about them. Because we're independent, we can do that, right? Freedom of speech and all those things. So I don't think we have a good concept of this, but I want to break down this a little bit more in a totally different manner. And I think you'll see why, because I think it's important. I said I'm Bruce, right? Right? And then I said, do you trust me? And I will say, for those that know me, they would say yes, they trust me. I'm a very consistent person. You know, if you know me, you know what you get, and you will consistently get that. Didn't say you'd like it, but you know what to expect, right? You can trust it. And there's a point here. You know, if you know the Lord, if you know God, you will come to the full realization that you can trust him with everything, hence your whole heart. You can surrender everything. So today, I want to talk about this passage of scripture, and we're only going to gloss over it. Psalms 23:1. Everyone should be familiar with this, or most of us should be familiar with this. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. Keep going. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. So there's a lot in here. So first I want to say this, John 10:14, Jesus says this, I am the good shepherd. Okay. I know my sheep, and my sheep know me. Just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, and I lay my life down for my sheep. Now, how many of you have a lot of experience shepherding? How many have ever been of the profession, a shepherd? Work with sheep, out in pasture, have the dogs corralling them? I know someone that does that. So most of us really don't have a concept of shepherd, a practical concept, experience, knowing, right? Let alone what a good shepherd is compared to a bad shepherd. I think this passage of scripture is important because Jesus said, I'm a good shepherd. You know, we take for granted all kinds of things, right? When we read the word of God, there's a reason he could have just said, I'm a shepherd of the sheep. He said, I'm a good shepherd. See, yeah, I've said this to you guys before. God uses the simplest thing to confound the wise. So I speak really simply. Because I think most of us are confounded by the simplicity of the scripture. There's a reason he put the word good there. Because it's not so much the shepherd part that's describing him, but the good part that's describing him. And if we separate those words and say, you know, I can trust in that which is good for me. It's good for me, so I trust it. I know it's good for me. He's good. Trust in good. Now, I know we don't get it, but we're talking about functioning in the kingdom of God, and the key to it is knowing he's good. Now, within that, we need to know him as shepherd. Why? Because what a shepherd does in the life of the sheep. So, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Living in the kingdom of God, you have no wants. Now, I said it last week or the week before or sometime in my life, I'm sure you've heard me say it. I pretty much don't have wants. If you said make a top 10 want list right now, I don't know if I'd get to 2. I want to retire. There's one. The rest, you know, wherever the Lord leads, they got. I don't have a lot of wants. And functioning in the kingdom of God, when we realize that we're established in heaven already and we can live that way on earth, we will live want-free. Why? Because we lack nothing. Why? Because it's his responsibility to take care of me. Therefore, I don't carry the burden of life. You understand, when you have a shepherd over your life that you give your life to, that you trust in, you don't carry the burden of life. I see so many of us, even in the church, weighed down by life. What's the problem? They're not exercising the key. The key is to come to him and give him the burdens. Because his yoke is easy. You know, we're supposed to live this life easy. Why? Because he's a good shepherd. He makes me to lie down in green pasture. Well, see, he tells me everything to do. It's not what it's saying. Sin, if you'll trust in me, you'll find that I take you to places where you're completely satisfied. It's lush. It's green. It's abundant. Everything that you desire, everything that you ever want, it's here. Where? In my presence. Because where I am, it's green. It's lush for you. You can be fully satisfied. Do you understand what the passage is saying? He leads me beside still waters. Well, I like the rapids. He brings peace in the midst of the storm. Do you understand what? I can rest in the Lord. He's my shepherd. The paths he leads me to are simply good. He restores my soul. You know, for those of you who had times of depression or darkness in your life, you know, he leads you towards the light. He brings you to a place that even though it seems like rapids, it's like still waters. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Now, I know people that have basically said, I can't serve the Lord because I can't do all these things. And my statement is simply, get over yourself. Because the word says, he leads me in paths of righteousness. It's not about me. It's not about anything I do. It's up to me, I'd probably somehow mess it up. Thank God he's a good shepherd. He leads me. And if I'm following him that leads me, it's paths of righteousness. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. How many would want that? Let's go to the worst place we can think of and set up tent. He'll do that. This thing's rich. You anoint my head with oil, my cup runs over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. That means now. There's nothing to wait for. So we haven't dug into this, but we're going to dig into it fairly quickly. You don't mind if I go fast, do you? Okay, good. This is really simple. I know you're going to get it. I love preaching to the choir. You guys are a wonderful choir. You just don't have the robes. Get it? You're going to understand it. So we're going to go through it quick. I have a lot of scriptures. I'm just going to read them. I believe the Word of God speaks for itself. You don't need me to elaborate the Word of God, but it's rich. Every word can bring life to you. Okay, so what does a shepherd do? A shepherd provides food, water, rest, safety, direction. See, we are his responsibility. Quit trying to be your own. So I want to free you of that right now. You are not your own responsibility, and you're not your brother's keeper. He is. That should totally free you to be bold, to encourage, to speak out, to edify, to do all the things he's called you to do. Why? Because it's his responsibility. You can't save anybody. He does the work. You're along for the ride. That's the fun part. Kingdom of God's fun. You're not functioning in the kingdom of God if you're not having fun. It's like, I love fishing, but I never catch fish. Then you don't love fishing. The aspect of fishing is catching fish. I went fishing. Did you catch anything? That's the first question. Because fishing means fish. Can't cook nothing. Okay. Just want to make that clear. You can say I took some line and tossed it out, but fishing, you have to catch something. I was just out there in the still waters. Okay, first off, there is no want, there's no lack, because God supplies in his kingdom. We talked about these verses last week in Matthew 6:25 and Luke 12:22. It says, don't worry about life. This is Bruce paraphrases version, right? Don't worry about this stuff. He's got you covered, okay? And then it goes into, you know, seek first his kingdom, right? And all this stuff he's going to get take care of for you anyways. But they both end slightly different, so I thought it was interesting. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. Matthew version. But then Luke version, it says this, do not be afraid, little flock, for your Father has been pleased to give you the kingdom. So when we surrender all these things, we need to realize what we gain. When we surrender our lives, when he says, if you'll lose your life, you'll gain it, it comes with a new understanding. See, living in the kingdom means I give up this one, so I gain that one. It's like me coming and saying, you know, do you have 10 bucks? It's my last $10. Yeah, but I have 1,000 to give you. And a lot of us want to hold on to the 10 bucks because it's in our hand. Trust in the Lord. He's a good shepherd. John 10:10 says, the thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I have come that they may have and enjoy life and have it in abundance to the full till it overflows. That's kingdom living. And it's only when you exercise the key. Acts 4:32 talks about the New Testament churches and it says, there were no needy persons among them. That's kingdom living. Philippians 4:6, do not be anxious about anything. That's a big word. Anything. Is there anything that's not included in anything? I believe there's nothing that's not included in anything. Okay, told you, I very simple approach, right? It says, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Philippians 4:19 says this, and my God will meet all your needs according to his glorious riches in Christ Jesus. There is no lack. There is no want in kingdom living. Okay, point one. Second, and we've heard about these things today. Fear nothing. God is with you. Psalms 23:4, we read it. Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. I don't know what you're walking through right now. But if you have the right perspective, it's joy unspeakable and full of glory. For you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. I still love that one. Your rod and your staff are protection and direction. The shepherd provides protection and direction for your life. If you will trust in him with all your heart. Now, I don't know how many of you set up your table for a meal in the presence of people you don't want to be around or enemies of you or whatever you want to set them up as. You know, I know once in a while Packer fans will party with Bear fans, but, you know, I don't know if you can equate the two. But my question is this. When you're at the table, where's your focus? See, in the kingdom of God, your focus is always on the king. So if he sets me a table, I'm looking at the feast. My enemies can watch all they want. I'm going to eat, especially if it's dessert. If you know me, you trust that statement. I have countless pictures of me on the cruise ship with ice cream. See, is it on that he's with you? Or is it on your enemies? You know, when I was a little kid, I was afraid of the dark, right? And there was a time we went to a place called Heartbeat, and it was really the city sewers down in St. Louis, and they'd go for miles, right? The sewer system goes through all the cities, but you get so far into the tunnels, it is black, right? So me and my friend are leading the way. I've never been there before, but he had. And you can't see someone. I wasn't scared because he was with me. You know, but the whole goal was to scare everybody behind us, which we managed to do. But they called it Heartbeat because every time someone would go over, a car would go over a manhole cover, it would beat. It was pretty cool. Anyways, you get the gist. Typically, you're not afraid when someone's with you. Doesn't matter what fear you're, when someone's with you, you're not afraid. Well, Dad, I'm afraid. Okay, I'll go with you. You don't understand the power of that. He will never leave you or forsake you. In kingdom living, he's always with you. Why could Jesus sleep in the boat in the midst of the storm? Good Shepherd. Table is provision. Anointing makes me fat. The cup overflows. That's how you're called to live. We have to understand what he's saying when he speaks to us. Matthew 10:28, do not be afraid of those who kill the body but cannot kill the soul. Rather be afraid of the one who can destroy both soul and body in hell. Are not two sparrows sold for a penny? Yet not one of them will fall to the ground apart from the will of your Father. And even the very hairs of your head are all numbered. So don't be afraid. You are worth more than many sparrows. Fear not. God is with you. 2 Timothy 1:7. For God did not give us a spirit of fear, timidity, cowardice, craven and cringing fear, but he has given us a spirit of power, of love, and of calm and well-balanced mind and discipline and self-control. And some of us need to speak that over our lives every day. 10 times a day, if not more. You got to start speaking truth until you start to believe it. You have a spirit of power, of love, of a calm, well-balanced mind. And discipline and self-control. Why? Because he's a good shepherd. 1 John 4:18, there is no fear in love, but perfect love drives out fear, because fear has to do with punishment. The one who fears is not made perfect in love. Are you ever afraid? You ever fearful? I actually don't mind it anymore. Great reminder for me. Oh, I'm not resting on that whom I believed in. Oh, I'm not trusting in you at the moment. Oh, I can stop, pause, and rest. Oh, why do I have that sense of apprehension? I'm thinking on the wrong things. See, exercise your key. Don't go through life without exercising the key. You're anxious? Exercise the key. You have anxiety? Exercise the key. You feel you lack? Exercise the key. Get it out of your pocket. Use it. Open the door. Walk through. He's a good shepherd. He hasn't left you. There's no need to fear. Perfect love is always with you. Last point within this passage. And it was interesting. We had the classic encounter group at the table, and I brought this up. Probably the thing I am most passionate about and want in my life is an awareness of His presence. You know, every behavior, all conduct, I don't care what it is, if someone was truly aware of His presence, would instantly change. Instantly. Your bad attitude, if you're truly aware of His presence like that, gone, instant. You'd simply just be in awe. But yet we go through our life, so many moments in life, just not aware that God is with us. The fullness of His presence is with you 24/7. Exercise the key. Trust in the Lord. You'll be aware of His presence. I no longer have to look for revival or move of God. I just got to start moving with God and be revival. Exercise the key. I've seen so many people cry out for revival. You have a service, they don't show. I come expecting. I don't know about you guys anymore. I expect when you walk through the door, I see Jesus all over you. I expect. Why? Because He's present. One of the things that happened to me in life, I went down with Larry Parrish and a group of guys down to Brownsville. We flew down there, other than our dash to the airport at 100 and some miles per hour to get there, to get the rental cars in. And, we had a good experience otherwise, yeah. It was fun. But the thing that awakened in me, and I've never forgotten, is the undeniable manifest presence of God. And I was standing in the parking lot waiting to go in the first night, and I don't even know if I shared it with anybody. Have you ever stood in the ocean when the waves are like really high and they're crashing over you? That's how I felt standing in the parking lot. And we were just talking and stuff, but I literally could have been knocked over all the time to this wave after wave of the presence of God. Physically, I could feel the presence of God. And the interesting part in the whole thing is when I came back, the presence of God was here. I just wasn't aware of it. Same tangible presence, same manifestation. So where was the problem? It was only in my awareness. Ezekiel 33:14, the Lord replied, "My presence will go with you and I will give you rest." Then Moses said to him, "If your presence does not go with us, do not send us up from here. How will anyone know you are pleased with me and with your people unless you go with us? What else will distinguish me and your people from all the other people on the face of the earth?" See, it's His presence. In 1 Samuel, it talks about Eli when he was a boy. It goes through the story where the Lord's calling Samuel, and Samuel doesn't really know what's going on. So he'll run to Eli and say, "Why'd you call me?" And Eli say, "I didn't call you." Finally, after a few times, Eli says, "Hey, next time just say, 'Here I am, Lord,' right? Your servant heareth." You guys know that story, right? All right, good, because I'm not going to read it all. That was my paraphrased version. But there's a couple things that I think are real interesting. It said, first off, it was in a time where the word of the Lord was rare. I want you to know, we're not in that time. How do I know? Because a lot of you are coming up to me with words. I could set the calendar for Sundays for the next half year with the amount of people that are coming up saying, I have a word. The Lord's speaking. But what was interesting to me in this is it says, the lamp of God had not yet gone out, and Samuel was lying down in the temple of the Lord where the ark of God was. He was in the presence of God the whole time, but yet he didn't know the voice of the Lord. So many sit in service. What's a service? We gather to be in the presence of the Lord. We gather to encourage, edify one another, but to be in his presence. We gather to hear him. Yet we're not aware of his presence. I'm telling you, it is quite possible to be together in one accord and have our focus not on hearing him. He was where the ark of God was. How many want to know that? God occupied his ark. How many know that God occupies this vessel? Look at yourself. He occupies you. You're not alone. Be aware of who's in you. It goes on to say that Samuel did not know the Lord at that time because the word of the Lord had not been revealed to him. I want to say this. I was having a discussion with somebody briefly earlier this week, and a lot of us need to grow in knowing how to hear the Lord. Sometimes it's just you sharing things, and the person says, that's the Lord speaking to you. And you're like, nah, that's just heartburn. No, really. You have to mature in knowing the Lord's voice. See, the sheep know his voice. How do they know it? Intimacy. They've been with the shepherd. Most of them from birth. You know, newborn baby knows its mother's voice. Why? Because they've heard it for months. Pretty much all they've heard for months. Knows the heartbeat of his mother. It's felt it for months. How close are you to God? Luke 24 talks about the road to Emmaus, and we know that story, right? Jesus appears to them. They're walking down the path. They spend the whole day with him. He enlightens them on all this stuff. They sit down at the table. What's the table? Place of fellowship and intimacy. And all of a sudden their eyes are opened and they recognize him. They were with him all day long. And they weren't aware of his presence. We need to become more aware of his presence. Everything will change. Everything will change. Every encumbrance will be lifted off. Every negative thought will leave. Everything not of him no longer exists in his presence. First John 3:24 says, those who obey his commands live in him and he in them. And this is how we know that he lives in us. We know it by the spirit he gave us. Do you understand what's been given you? 1 Corinthians 3:16. I'm going to fly through these. Don't you know that you yourselves are God's temple and that God's spirit lives in you? Colossians 1:27. To them God has chosen to make known among the Gentiles the glorious riches of this mystery, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. John 14, and he will give you another counselor to be with you forever, the spirit of truth. The world cannot accept him because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him, for he lives with you and will be in you. I'm going to skip a few of them. Deuteronomy 31:6, be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or terrified because of them, for the Lord your God goes with you. He will never leave you or forsake you. Matthew 28:18, I'm going to go down to 20. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. So what am I saying? I'm saying we trust in the Lord. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. I shall not be afraid because I know he's with me. That's what I'm saying. You know he's with you. Is everyone staying with me? It was funny because, like I said, I found out I was going to speak this morning and popped on the thing and song popped on and pertained to the scripture. Next song popped on, it pertains to the scripture. Walk in here, people share things with me, it pertained to the scripture. Everything was constantly reinforced and I felt like God wants to speak to people. Now, I don't know if God's spoken to you, but I know God's spoken to you. Why did I say it like that? Because I don't know if you were listening. I prayed you were listening, but I don't know if you were listening. So if you were listening, you'll be changed. If you were listening, whatever you came in with that wasn't of him, a burden of life, challenges, something that's grabbing your mind or your heart, your attention away from him, will instantly be changed. Okay, so I'm going to ask some of the leaders come down, leaders' wives or vice versa, spouses, and we're going to have a little prayer tunnel. And we haven't done this for a long time, so I think it's going to be cool and fun. And I'm for all those things. But here's where I'm at. You need to know him as shepherd. Because it's in him you are saved. It's him, in him you are free. It's in him you have provision. It's in him you have protection. It's in him you are secure. Without him, you're not. It's that simple. And form a little thingy. A little thingy, just to walk through. So here's what I'm saying. You need to be aware of his presence. You need to be aware of God with me and God in me. We need to know him in us more than us in him. I'm going to say it again. You need to know him in you more than you in him. You need to know him in you. When we focus on him, when we're aware that presence goes before us, we will walk, we will talk, we will function from his kingdom. Then we can say, I trust in the Lord with all my heart, for the Lord is my shepherd. So I'm going to pray. They're going to put on some music, and I'm going to ask if you'll step out in faith and be purposeful. This might just be a prophetic exercise of faith for you. Doesn't matter to me. I feel like the Lord's telling us to do it. I believe he wants you to walk free in his kingdom. It is not about a prayer. It's not about someone touching you. It's not about any of that. It's about simply obeying what he's telling you. That's it. Being responsive to him. That's all it's about. I believe he wants you to walk free. I believe he wants to capture and recapture and renew your mind. I believe he wants to restore your soul. I know he wants you to walk in green pastures and in still waters. I know he wants you to look forward to a table in the midst of the worst circumstances. That's what he has for you. That's what he wants for you. That's what's available to you if you'll simply walk out in faith. So cue the music. Heavenly Father, I bless your people. I acknowledge that they are your people. It is their hearts and their minds that I'm committing to you right now. and just simply do what you want to do in their lives for your glory. In Jesus' name, may your favor rest upon them. Please come.